So if God were to tell you, you can have anything you want, I'll give you one wish, what would you ask for? Think about that for a minute. Would it be to win the lottery? How about to go back to a moment in time and restart? Again, if you could have anything you want, would it be a new body, a new job, maybe something like a new wife, new husband, whatever it is, right? Well, at least one guy in the history of the world got that opportunity. His name was Solomon. He lived about 3,000 years ago, and he was the son of the most famous king in Israel's history, King David. He was also the third king in Israel. And in the book of 1 Kings, chapter 3, we kind of get a record of this amazing conversation that God had with Solomon. For context, Solomon has kind of traveled some distance to a temple of God. He spent all day there making 1,000 sacrifices to God. Then later that night, something amazing takes place. And let's take a peek at what it says in verse 5. It says that night, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream. And God said, "What do you want? Ask, and I will give it to you." Basically, what God is saying is what I was asking you. Solomon, hey, I've been watching your life. You can have one thing. If you could have anything you want, what do you want? Fame, pleasure, power, possessions, whatever you want, whatever it is, I'll give it to you. Can you imagine God telling you that? Like how incredible that would be. How would you respond if God asked you that? Well, Solomon begins to recount all the things that have to be done because God has made him king, and he didn't feel up to the task, and he's overwhelmed by the decisions that he has to make in order to do right for all the people that are around him. So this is how Solomon responded to God's request to him or statement to him. Verse 9, he says, "Give me an understanding heart so that I can govern your people well and know the difference between right and wrong." In other words, he asked for wisdom. He looked around his life and he decided that he needed wisdom more than he needed anything else in his life. More than money, more than power, more than respect. He needed wisdom. And so he says this to God. Now look how God responds in verse 10. It says, "The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for wisdom." So God replied, "Because you have asked for wisdom in governing my people with justice and have not asked for a long life or wealth or the death of your enemies, I will give you what you asked for. I'll give you a wise and understanding heart such as no one else has ever had or ever will. And I will also give you what you did not ask for, riches and fame." So what we read here is God was so pleased that he said, not only am I going to give you wisdom, but you're going to get everything else that you didn't ask for. And Solomon became the wisest man who had ever lived. Now, this same guy took all of that wisdom that God gave him and he wrote a book. The book is called Proverbs. And we're going to spend the next 6 weeks looking at what this wise man wrote in Proverbs. And one of the major themes in Proverbs is this: how do you foolproof your life? It looks at things like money and sex and power and family, friends, career, success, failure, aging and conflict. And it opens up for us what a wise person should do in any of those circumstances. In fact, look what Solomon says in Proverbs chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. He says this: "Getting wisdom is the most important thing that you can do. Whatever else you get insight. Love wisdom, and she will make you great." Solomon's telling us, okay, from his wisdom, the key to really having it all is just to be wise. So the question becomes, what is wisdom? It's a good question. You can see, wisdom is not knowledge, right? We're in a knowledge explosion in our world today. There's a lot of information. You can be an educated fool. You can have a lot of degrees, and it just doesn't make any sense. You can watch the news, you can have a high IQ, and not be wise. Sure, you can have IQ, and you can also make dumb decisions. It's not IQ and intellect, it's not knowledge, wisdom is not even common sense. It's much more than that. Here's how I would define wisdom. Wisdom is seeing and responding to life from God's perspective. It's seeing and responding to God's perspective. And it's an attitude, it's an action, it's a skill that you can develop. And the problem is that we don't usually respond to life from God's perspective. In fact, Solomon tells us in Proverbs chapter 14, he says, "There is a way that seems right to man or woman, but it ends in death. You ever heard anybody say, hey, well, I just go with my natural inclinations. I do what I feel. Well, Solomon would say, that's dumb. You know, the Bible says that your natural inclinations are normally wrong. There is a way that seems right, but it ends in a dead end. You ever been up in the mountains, maybe in the mountains of North Carolina, and you travel in and around those roads and through the hollers? It doesn't take very many turns before you realize, boy, I am lost. I'm going nowhere. A lot of people are going nowhere fast in life because they're just not wise. So wisdom is seeing and responding to life from God's viewpoint. And if I do that, what will it do for me? Well, let me give you a couple of benefits, and then we're going to talk about how we can gain wisdom. And all of these benefits can be found in four verses in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 15 through 18 says this: wisdom is more valuable than jewels. Nothing you could want can compare with it. Wisdom offers you long life as well as wealth and honor. Wisdom can make your life pleasant and lead you safely through it. Those who become wise are happy. Wisdom will give them life. So, what will wisdom do for you? A lot more than you think. God says it's all wrapped up in learning to be wise. And the first thing that we see in this passage is that it says you get long life. First, he says you will get long life. How can God promise me a longer life if I'm wise? Because when you're wise, it reduces the stress in your life. You have healthier habits. You're involved in fewer accidents because you do wise things. And when you do wise things, you live longer. While preparing this message, I saw an interesting study that said that people who are actively engaged in a life with God lived an average of 9.45 years longer than those with no religious affiliation. A life with God gives you a long life. In fact, there's a lot of principles of health that are found in the book of Proverbs. But it's not just that. Second, Solomon says that a life of wisdom will also give you wealth. How would you like to have God as your financial planner, your advisor? Towards the end of this series, what we're going to look at, we're going to look at kind of the foundations that Solomon lays down for us for financial freedom. But they're all found written again in the book of Proverbs. So long life, wealth, honor. He says it's honor. How does wisdom bring honor? Right? By not putting your foot in your mouth as often. Because you begin to know and understand what the right thing to do in any situation is. But the fourth thing you get is pleasure. Right? Living according to God's wisdom makes life easier. Most of the problems you have in your life, you bring on yourself, right? I mean, I know I've done them. My dumb decisions bring them on me. And when you're wise, it eliminates a lot of the problems that you normally bring on your life. Life, promise you, gets easier when you're wise. The fifth thing that he says is it brings security. It will make your life safe or safer. Wisdom gives a sense of security and self-confidence and peace of mind. All of a sudden, you're in control of the situation. You're not a reactor, but an actor. Things don't control you, but you begin to control things when you're wise. And then he also says it brings happiness. Those who become wise will be happy. Solomon asked for wisdom, and God said, hey, everything that you want is wrapped up in wisdom. He asked for the right thing. He asked for wisdom. They're all kind of part of the package. So today, I just kind of want to whet your appetite for this series. And the key to life is to get God's wisdom. It brings all these things into your life: long life, wealth, honor, pleasure, safety, and happiness. So, how do I get wisdom? Well, the first thing you do to get wisdom is by reading God's word. You don't find it by, you know, more interesting blogs, by watching YouTube, by listening to more TED Talks. There really is only one reliable source of wisdom. If you want to be wise, you got to go to the source. You have to read God's word, right? In the book of Proverbs, Solomon starts off by telling you the purpose of the whole book. And it begins right in the first chapter, Proverbs chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. He says this: here are the proverbs that will help you recognize wisdom and good advice and understand sayings with deep meaning. They can teach you how to live intelligently and how to be honest, just, and fair. Would you like to know how to act in any given situation? Would you like to live intelligently? Solomon is telling us that you can have a lot and you can save a lot, that is, on your counseling bill. He can save you from many of the regrets and things that we've done. All you have to do is have wisdom. And when it comes down to it, there's really only two sources of wisdom in life. There's God's word, and then there's the world's insights. You're going to get your insights either from one of those two places, what God says or what the world tells us. The world will tell you all kinds of contradictory things. The founders of modern psychology, Freud and Maslow and Jung and Rogers and James and all of them, they disagree with each other. The wisdom of the world, the Bible says, is like foolishness to God. But you have a basic source of wisdom, and it can be found in reading God's word. How do you believe everything you watch or read on the internet? I hope not, right? Do you believe everything on social media, talk radio, or how about the Bible? When we spend more time listening and reading what the Bible says, then we begin to understand that other wisdom just doesn't make sense. We must read God's word. It's the owner's manual for life. When we read God's word, it helps us begin an understanding and develop wisdom, right? But it takes more than reading the book. It takes more than studying it. I know people who are walking encyclopedias of Bible knowledge. They read it, study it, memorize it. They can quote scripture. They are just as neurotic about the Bible as you can be. But yet, they are nuts, right? It takes more than Bible knowledge. That's what you have to do. You have to go beyond just reading it. You have to move to step two. You have to do what it says. Look at Proverbs chapter 7, verses 1 and 2. It says, "Never forget what I tell you to do. Do what I say, and you will live. Be careful how to follow it." This book right here, it is worthless to you if it just sits on your coffee table. It's worthless to you if you just read it. It's worthless if you don't ever apply it to your life. And so Solomon's saying two things. First, never forget, right? Remember, memorize. When was the last time you memorized a verse in the Bible? Have you ever memorized a verse in the Bible? Why do you think you have so many problems? God's word is wisdom, but it does no good sitting on a shelf. There are all kinds of practical insights that are in here. So he says, never forget. Then he says, do what it says. Follow it. Apply it. You got to become a living version of the Bible. First, commit it to memory, then commit it to action. That's how you become wise. You read God's word, and then you do what it says. James, who's the brother of Jesus, he picks up on this idea. And by the way, this is a great verse to memorize. In James chapter 1, verse 22, he says this: "Don't merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says." If you want the secret to an effective life, it's in one sentence. That's it. Don't just listen. Don't just hear it. Do what it says. A lot of Christians, and as a pastor, I encounter a lot of them. A lot of Christians, a lot of church attenders, they're deceiving themselves. They think they're making it. They come to church, they hear all these good things, and it goes in one ear, and it goes out the other. They walk out, and they've forgotten whatever it is they heard by the time they get to the car and get home. They never apply it. James says, when I do that, I'm deceiving myself. I'm kidding myself. It takes more than reading it or going to church or showing up on a Sunday. I've got to apply what it says to my life. I've got to practice it. That's what helps me become a wise person. And then the third thing I need to do is get to know God. Get to know God. When Solomon starts off this book, he summarizes, get wisdom. And as you do that by reading God's word and doing what it says, in other words, what he's saying is you need to develop a relationship with God. Proverbs 1, verse 7 says this: "How does a person become wise? The first step is to trust and revere the Lord." It's foolish to try to live your life ignoring the one who made you. You were made for a purpose, a reason. Your creator has a plan for your life. It's ridiculous to try to live life ignoring the very one who made you. You ought to trust God. That's the starting point in becoming wise, is trust the Lord. So let me ask you, who are you trusting today? What are you trusting to give you your daily guidance? I know some people, it might be a horoscope. It might be stock market, where it's at. It might be your natural instincts. The Bible says all of that's a dead end. It seems right, but it leads to all kinds of problems. Why do you think that people make foolish financial decisions? Why do people walk into marriages that are doomed from the start? Why do people start doing things and developing habits that they know eventually are going to kill them? Why do people take more on in their schedule than they can handle? Why do people buy things that they don't need with money that they don't have to impress people that they don't even like? Why do people have an affair and think that it's not going to matter? Why do people fail to prepare for death when they know that death is inevitable? Why do people procrastinate accepting Jesus when he offers them tremendous benefits and they know it? See, Proverbs sums up all of those questions with one answer and one phrase: a lack of wisdom. When you lack wisdom, you make dumb decisions, and then you pay the results of that. Look at one final verse today from Proverbs. It's found in chapter 9, verse 10. It says this: "For the reverence and fear of God are basic to all wisdom. Knowing God results in every other kind of understanding." Notice that word fear. You say, well, am I supposed to fear God? I thought God loved me. Well, he does. This word fear simply means to take God seriously. He's not just the big brother upstairs. He's not the big buddy in the sky. God is not your co-pilot. God is not your co-anything. He's God. He's the creator. Take God seriously. Then he says, knowing God results in every other kind of understanding. Do you know God? Not do you know about God, but do you know God? And knowing God means more than just knowing facts about God. Right? If you believe God exists, okay, big deal. So does the devil. I believe in Jesus Christ, and I'm a Christian. Why? Because it's more than knowing about Jesus or about God. I know him. I have a personal relationship with him. I've committed my life to him. That's what it means to know God. How can I get to know God? That's a good question. That's what Jesus came to do. It's very hard to relate to an invisible God, some big force in the sky. How do you relate to that? We need to see a God with flesh and bones, and I need to see how God would act in my situation. So God came to earth in form of a human being, and for 33 years he showed us this is what God's like. I can look at God through Jesus Christ and look at him and see what God is like. I can look at Jesus and say, that is what God's like. He's loving and kind and considerate. He has a plan for my life. And maybe you're watching today, and you've been thinking for a while as you observe all these people who claim to follow and to trust Jesus. These people, you see, they're just ordinary people, but they have something different. They have a power that maybe you say, I don't have. Maybe they have the same problems that you have, but maybe somehow it looks like, man, they're just coping and dealing with it a lot better than I am. And as you observe those Christians, you're thinking, God, man, I want to believe in you, but I got all kinds of doubts and questions, and I don't understand it all. And if that is so, that is completely normal. Faith and trust does not have to include a complete understanding without any doubts. Let me explain. Every time I get on an airplane, I don't understand exactly how the airplane works, and I'm not always completely sure that the airplane will not crash, but I trust what I do know. I trust the pilots, I trust the mechanics, so I get on board. And to this day, when it relates to God, I don't know everything. I still have my doubts. I still wonder about some things, but each and every day I build a relationship with Jesus and I learn more and more to put my trust in him. I put my hope in him. I put my future. And that is the wisest thing that anyone could ever do. And you can do that today. You can have the same relationship. It's really simple. Jesus made it simple. Nobody could say that it was going to be too hard to understand. All you have to do is say yes to God. Yes, God, I want you to be number one in my life. Yes, help me know and understand your plan. And if God were to give you one request, what would you ask for? I hope now you would ask for wisdom, because nothing compares with wisdom. It offers long life, wealth, honor. It'll make your life pleasant. It will lead you safely through it. And those who become wise will become happy. So as we wrap up today, I want to give you a challenge. Most of you are watching this are probably Christians. You've already opened up your life to Christ. You've said yes to God. I want to challenge you to make wisdom the goal for the rest of your life. I want you to know God. I want you to begin reading His Word, and then I want you to begin doing what it says. I don't want this to be one of the things that you do along with kind of like, well, I got this God thing along with crafting or playing golf or exercising. I just want you to go all in with God, not a little God on the side. Make it the goal of your life. Don't let anything stop you. Spend time with God, whether anything else counts. Getting wisdom is the most important thing that you can do. And as we wrap this up, let me give you one small homework assignment. There are 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs, right? I want you to read one chapter a day for 31 days, for a month. The first 9 chapters of this book, Solomon's kind of giving advice to his son. He talks primarily about the importance of wisdom. Then he spends 2 or 3 chapters about avoiding kind of immoral situations and things that you need to get out of. Don't get bogged down in the first 9 chapters. The next 15 chapters are advice to everybody. It's full of advice about everything and anything that's going on in life. A lot of it is funny. And the last 7 chapters of the book deal with advice to leaders. We're going to go through the whole book together by themes and topics. And there's some contrasting proverbs, there's correlating proverbs. And you might want to start a journal and write down all the verses that you find, maybe on anger, on being wise, or on marriage, or parenting, or work. Make yourself a topical version of the book of Proverbs. Now, some of you would say, well, my life is kind of out of control right now. It's going downhill, and there's things that I don't have a handle on. If that's you, isn't it about time that you wise up? The wisest thing that I ever did in my life was give my life to Jesus. I wish I'd done it sooner. If I'd known what I know now, I would have done it sooner. But the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 1:24, Christ is the wisdom of God. If you want to know what wisdom is, look at Jesus. He embodies it. He personifies it. This is what it means to live wisely and have a grip on life. If you've never done that, I think your first step would be to say yes to Him today. Hey, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, as we begin this series, as we go through the book of Proverbs, help us not to just be hearers of your word, but to be doers of it and to put it into practice and apply it in our lives. You've said that getting wisdom is the most important thing that we can do because it prevents us from making stupid decisions that cause so many problems in our life. God, I pray that as we go through the next 6 weeks studying this book, that you would teach us how to be wise. Wise parents, wise partners in our marriage, wise professionals at work, just wise people. Help us to do more than just read your word. God, we want to remember it and do what it says. And if you've never invited Jesus into your life, why don't you just do that right now? Just say yes. Just say, God, I just want to say yes to you. It doesn't matter what you say, but what matters is your heart. If your heart is saying yes, just simply say something to Jesus. I don't understand it all, but I want you in my life today. I believe if you pray any version of that prayer, God hears your heart, and this is the beginning of a brand new life called the Christian life. You've taken the very first step in what's going to be an amazing, long journey. And if you're someone who's already made that decision, how about you pray something like this? God, I want to make wisdom my life goal, to become a wise person by reading and actually applying your word. Help us, Father, to be wise people, to be a wise church. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, hey, friends, thanks for joining us today. Before you head out into whatever you've got going on today, could I ask you to do a favor for me? If you think today's message on wisdom might be valuable to somebody that you know, would you mind just kind of sharing this video with them? Not only could it be helpful for them, but by sharing this content, as well as liking and subscribing to whatever channel that you're watching this on, you play some small role in helping us accomplish our mission to raise the reputation of Jesus. And along those lines, could I also ask you to head over to our website at nextlevelchurch.org/give and choose one of those giving options that's there. Every dollar that you give, make sure that your church is prepared more than ever to fund our mission to raise the reputation of Jesus where we live, work, and play. And by way of benediction, I want to reread to you that verse from James chapter 1, verse 22, where it says this: "But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourself." May you, as you begin to head out into your day and into your week, ask God for wisdom. May you put that wisdom into practice. And as you become wise, may God bless you beyond any measure that you could ever imagine. And in turn, let you be a blessing to those around you. Hey guys, have a blessed week. We're going to see you every day on all of our social channels. Just know that my staff and I were praying for you, and we love you.